not just because he wants us to or because he wants us to do everything he tells us to do, but he knows us and he knows what we need. And we do need to be together on days like today, especially. Well, Barry Lafreniere was showing some of us at the Tuesday morning group a Bible that he got when he was a new believer. And it's a King James Version, and it was done with the original prints that they had made, and the language was so old it was almost unreadable. So he had to work his way to another translation to find something that was really workable. Because the language in the original one was Shakespearean almost, and the spellings weren't the same and anything else like that. So a few years ago in 2011, it was the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible being published, the first authorized translation into the English language. It was authorized by the King of England. And it has had a huge impact on the English-speaking world. In fact, a big percentage of the English-speaking world became literate just for the purpose of being able to read that book. Now, in World War II, in the spring of 1940, the beginning of the war, the German army was invading France, and there were about 300,000 British troops in France at that point, trying to defend France, and they were losing badly. And the Germans surrounded and trapped the British forces, most of the Allied forces, at a town called Dunkirk. It was on the coast of northern France, and so the Germans were coming from the south and all the way around them, and behind them were the waters of the English Channel, and they faced annihilation or surrender. And this miraculous outpouring occurred. People in England began coming in every kind of ship, small ship and boat they could bring across the channel. And this flotilla of hundreds of little ships and boats came and evacuated most of the Allied forces. But before that evacuation took place, when everything looked absolutely hopeless, supposedly, a British officer sent the following message, condensed into three powerful words, "but if not." At the time, that was a strong message of courage and ultimate hope in the midst of trouble. The message conveyed that the British would stand defiantly against the Nazis and that God would provide a way through the dark night. "But if not," comes straight from the King James Bible. It comes from the story of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in chapter 3 of Daniel, where they declared their trust in God, even if their mission failed. Daniel 3, 17 and 18 says this, "They said, 'Be it so, our God, be it if it be so, our God, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King Nebuchadnezzar.' But if not," that is, if God does not deliver us, "be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So they were "but if not" people. And those words still speak to our hearts today. Those words from God. "But if not." Words of courage, words of hope in difficult and dark days. God is looking for people who will trust in his promise, especially when they don't know when or how his promise will be fulfilled. And Christmas is a great reminder of that every year. You might want to take a Bible and turn it to Luke chapter 2. And we'll be looking there in a few minutes. Luke chapter 2, it's the third gospel into the New Testament. And in this chapter, toward the end of the chapter, there was a small conference of people who trusted in God and they lived righteously even when their circumstances did not seem nearly as glorious as the truth of the message they had received. And so there was this little baby named Jesus, and he was this like a candle flame in a dark cave. He was at the very center of their hope in this dark world that they lived in. And that translates directly into our world. And so let's take this with us as we go into this season, that Jesus brings hope whatever your life is bringing to you. So let's look at the characters in this story. Let's look at Joseph and Mary first and how they acted with hope in the midst of their suspicious circumstances and their poverty. Let's look at verses 21 through 24 in Luke chapter 2. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male child is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So this young couple were righteous. They did everything according to the law. They were righteous despite their shadow of doubt circumstances. God put Joseph and Mary in a very difficult spot. They weren't married yet, you see. And so she was having a baby, and yet there was no other way for this to come about, lest people would just say this is the son of Joseph. They were righteous despite their relative poverty. You see, the bringing a pigeon or a dove was the offering of a poor person. And they brought the offering of a poor worker. They were not destitute. They had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I expect that was their family savings for a long, long, long time. But they were not well-off people. Mary and Joseph and Mary were but if not kind of people. They were going to do the right thing no matter what people thought of them. They were going to do the right thing no matter whether God had brought them the blessings they had hoped for or not. And so as we go on in this story, we'll see that they are encouraged and made aware of the bigger picture that God had going on by these two people, Simeon and Anna, that we're going to read about in a few minutes. But we need to stop and ask ourselves, what expectations do I have out of life? What is it I go through life thinking that God owes to me? What does God owe me? Does he owe me a comfortable life? Does he owe me enough this and enough that so that I can say I'm a respectable middle-class person? Nope, he does not. He doesn't promise me an easy life, and he doesn't owe me one either. The question is are we ready? Are you ready? Am I ready to say, we hope that our situation will be thus and so, and I will work to make the situation thus and so, but if not, if it doesn't turn out that way, I'm still going to serve the Lord. Now, the next character we meet in this story is a guy named Simeon. Let's read on at verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Simeon was near the end of his life. He acted with hope at the end of a life of waiting. Now, he was just very grateful. He didn't say, Oh, if only I could have heard about this, 40 years ago, and then I could have seen what this baby was going to become. He said, Lord, thank you for what you gave me. I got to lay my eyes on this Son of God, this Messiah. He was focused on God's promise. The Holy Spirit was on him. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't just filled by the Holy Spirit so that he would have a joyous occasion, although I'm sure it was very joyous. There was a reason that the Holy Spirit came on him. The reason was so that he would hear and know the message. This is the Messiah. This is him. So that you will understand and you will see that you have seen with your eyes my promise being fulfilled. And this little Jesus, he's not bringing health and wealth. Hate to tell you that. There are lots of people out there will tell you that you'll know that you have great faith in God if you remain healthy and wealthy. The Bible just doesn't say that. That's not the gospel message. In fact, Simeon said, no, he's going to bring trouble, actually. He's going to bring trouble because he's going to show all of us who we really are. And we don't want to hear that. But when he tells us that, and when we see that and say, yes, that is who I really am, then we are ready to hear his message. I love you. I have always loved you. And we need to be reconciled with God through Christ. That's the gospel message. And so this baby brings this message, and he brings this trouble to the heart of humankind. Simeon was a but if not man. He was going to do the right thing. He was in this for life. Even if he didn't see the Messiah in his lifetime, he was devout. He was going to serve God. But God said through the Holy Spirit, you were born at the right time and you will see this thing with your eyes. You and I are part of history. Or if you want to say that a little different way, you and I are part of his story. We are. And we may not be around for the really great bits. We may be a generation that holds things together for the next generation when God brings revival. We may be the people that God asks to be faithful without ever having seen with our eyes. Are you willing to be God's but if not people? That's his question to us. Let's look at this last character, this woman named Anna, verses 36 through 38. There was also a prophetess, name of Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, which was kind of a strange thing since that's one of the 12 or one of the 10 tribes that was lost in the when the Assyrians came. And so her family must have stayed close in with the Jerusalem temple establishment. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and she was probably married very young, just like Mary was married to Joseph. She would probably now be a middle school student in our reckoning. She was married, she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Anna, this prophetess from the tribe of Asher, who had never remarried, never became a mother among her people, she understood Mary's position. She was probably married very young herself. And she lived out her long years knowing that she would never be all the things that most young people dream of. She served God without condition. She never said, like her ancestor Jacob had said, if you will take care of me and give me food and do all these things, then I will serve you. She didn't say that. And I'm sure that she had many hopes in her heart for what her life would be like. But she focused those hopes on the promises of God, the Messiah. And so she was a prophet. And she stayed right there in the temple and she prayed and she fasted. I'm sure she said to God, I would love to see what you have, but if not, I'll be right here in this temple. She was committed up front to the Lord. And then it says, when she saw the Lord Jesus, that she spread the word. She began to tell everyone about it. So all four of these people, Joseph, Mary, Simeon, Anna, they rose as people who were already doing the right thing, already determined to do the right thing despite their circumstances, and God blessed them after they were committed to the future that God was bringing, but were willing to live with the now of God's choosing for them. And that is the question. Are we willing to live with what God has right now for us, knowing that he has already greatly blessed us with this Lord Jesus, knowing that this baby Jesus would end up on a Roman cross, but also knowing that this baby Jesus would be raised from the dead and change our history, change his story forever. We have been blessed by that. And that is enough of a blessing. Having God's word, having the Holy Spirit in us because we are followers of his son Jesus, that is enough to say, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. And I hope things turn out thus and so, but if not, here am I, Lord. I'm here. Are we ready to say that? This baby Jesus brings hope for God's but if not people. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a but if not person, the main one, the only one that really counts. You came and you did what was right. And you showed us what that looks like. We're so grateful that we get to know you. We're so grateful that all these things happened and that we can know about them and we can trust you with what is tomorrow in our life and what is in this next week. And so we just thank you for this glorious season of Christmas in which people were just hanging on, just surviving, waiting for you to come. And you bless them. Lord, would you bless us as well? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.